Okay. I will talk to this. Okay, good. Guten Morgen. Ich bin Coco. And that's it. That's the German I know. Anyway, while we're setting that up, it's just great to be here. And we just visited my first grandson in Paderborn. So my son and my daughter-in-law, they got married, and now they have a son. And so we have an extended family here in Germany.
Cool.
So anyway, they're trying to build a family right now. And all of us are in the process of building something. So our lesson is about bana. Bana is the Hebrew word of building, to understand, or to build with understanding. We all want to build right. Because if we don't build right, next, it can end up this way. Right? That would be a big problem.
Yes.
And the costs is very huge. So that's why in the beginning we want to build right. And we want to build our lives, we want to build our marriages, we want to build our family, we want to build relationships, we want to try to do it right. And the best way for us to do so is to build it with God. So let's turn, next slide, in Psalm 127. Can you see it?
Yes.
Can you see? Okay. In verses 1 to 5, and I'll go ahead and read it for you. It says here, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court." So I have a few things that I'd love to share with you. Maybe you've read the scripture many times. But I must say, I was having my quiet time. I've been having my quiet time in the book of Psalms. And when I came across this psalm once more, took me about 2 days to find out its meaning for me. And I pray that what I will share with you, what I have learned with it, will be helpful for each and every one of us. By the way, my wife and I, we have been married for 29 years now, almost 29 years.
Yes.
We have been disciples. We celebrated our 29th anniversary with God last May.
Oh, yeah.
So it is God's grace that we are here, and we are grateful to be here. So let me share with you the first thing, one principle that is so crucial for me, and I believe will be crucial for each and every one of us. Next slide. If we're going to build, let's build with God. If there's anyone that understands life, wouldn't it be God? If there's anyone that would even... I have a question. Do you even understand yourself? That's a hard thing to do. But God knows us because he knitted us in our mother's womb. He knew us from the very beginning. He numbered our days. He knew exactly what was going to happen. So he knows us intimately. So if we are to build, let's build with the best coach ever. Let's build with God. So let's read once more in Psalm 127 verses 1 to 2. It says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch? In vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Do you love to sleep?
Yes.
Oh, man, I love to sleep. After driving many, many kilometers, I would love to sleep after. If we try to build using our understanding and strength, we might miss the mark. Because unless the Lord builds the house, bana the house, okay? Unless the Lord watches over us, then what we do will be in vain. The word vain, if you look it up, it actually means empty, useless. You mean to say it is useless to rise early in the morning and to toil for food to eat? And I realize that if there is no purpose to life, it does not make sense. And it is God that gives us that purpose on how to build our life. So, why is it important to build with God? Well, one thing that's a need for everyone is to love and to be loved. Every human being. And by the way, love never came from man. Love was invented by God himself. It never came from our mind. It never came from our hearts. It was God that taught us what love is. And so if we are to love and be loved, the first thing we need to know is, how is love with God? How does God love? What is love in the mind and in the heart of God? Because when we learn that, then we have the proper building blocks to build proper relationships. If we understand what love is, you know, now my son and my daughter-in-law, they have this brand new baby. And babies do what babies do. They wake up, they cry. You feed them, they close their eyes. After an hour, they cry. And they cannot talk. Right? And you don't know, are you hungry? Are you thirsty?
Are you wet?
Are you wet? It's like everything, the language of a baby is cry. And the language of a parent is nothing but love. What do you do with this little thing? Right? I'm a good thing I'm a grandfather. So sometimes they give me the baby. And then when it cries, I give it back. You take care now. I had my chance. I had 3 children. So that's why it's important to build with God. How do we build with God? By relying on Him on a daily basis. It's a discipline. If you're going to build anything, you have to be an architect. There's a discipline.
That's right.
If you're going to build, you know, you can become an electrical engineer and so on. Those are even a doctor. Those are disciplines. More so, if we're going to build our life, there should be a discipline. And there should be reliance on God. And I know life can be very busy. Just like what I described with my son and his daughter. It can be busy. We can forget, you know, time is so fast here. By the way, I love Germany. It's very beautiful. Beautiful country. I go, wow, I can drive 160 kilometers per hour. Yeah! Awesome! In the Philippines, you drive
30.
Well, that's it. You know, the most that you will hear from your automobile is here. It's like, in Philippines, only boom. That's it. Right? So life can be very busy here. and even in our world. But if we're just too busy, we can just be busybodies and not really accomplish anything. But if there's direction in our life, then we will go from point A to point B with God. So rely on God. Learn to love through God. And then the other thing is simply, and how, again, do we build, how do we learn all of these things? Remember Matthew chapter 6, in verse 33 it says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. He knows that we need all of these other things to build our lives. And all these things will be given to us as well. And if we rely on God, we trust in God, we surrender our lives to God, we learn to love like God, we've done our very best, guess what happens at night? You will sleep well. You will sleep well. And when you wake up, you feel refreshed. I can drive another 160 kilometers per hour. You know, you're happy. Yeah, for 3 hours. Boy, I loved it. So, fantastic. So, build with God. Secondly, next slide, please. Build character. Build character. In Psalm 127, verse 3 to 4, it says, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. And I had to think about this for a moment. What about those that do not have this verse? But rather, this psalm is not just for those with families, with children. It also talks about spiritual family. It talks about your family, if you do not have any children, husband and wife is a family.
That's right.
If you're single, you have parents, that's a family. You have a Bible talk, you have a D group, that is a family.
Right.
You see, when it says here, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. When we have children, whether they are physical or spiritual, it's a reward.
Right.
It's a fulfillment.
That's right.
It's a blessing to have offspring, both physical and or spiritual. When this psalm was written, it was important for the family back then to continue the family line so that their name will be written in Israel. Okay. And if they did not give birth, the women, they felt cursed. They felt rejection not to have children. That was then, not now. So the context was having children as a blessing then, but having relationships spiritually with those we help become disciples is also a blessing.
Amen.
And then it says here, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. We have 3 children, and my wife's going to share a little bit more about them. But I realized in building people's lives, we are never in control. You can never control a life of a person. It's all about God's grace. I have practiced archery every now and then. I'm not very good at it, you know. I just practice archery. And in archery, of course, you have the bow, and you have the arrow, and you have the arrowhead, you have the shaft, then you have the feathers or the plastic there, and then at the end is another jutting point here, a small part of the after the feathers is what you call the nock. The nock has a slit in it. You put the arrow on the bow, and then you nock it. So the arrow is knocked on that string, and then it has to be in contact with your jaw. And you go, how in the world am I going to shoot this arrow, right? So it's like that. Then you release. Once you release, the wind factor the weight of the shaft, the tightness, or even the looseness of the nut can all affect your accuracy.
Yep.
Gravity. Very good, my dear brother. Thank you. And so when you hit, I tell you, to hit the bull's eye, let's say you are at about 25 meters away. It's a miracle. You don't. Why is it going that way or this way? You know, just hit the board. But sometimes it misses the mark. Because when you release, you're no longer in control. We can only direct the arrow to where we want it to go, but where it lands, spiritually speaking, is the grace of God.
Amen.
So I'm going to call my wife up to share a little bit.
Okay. We have three children, Paolo, Francesca, and Pauline. Paolo started studying the Bible at 15. He studied three times till counting the cost. Every time he finishes counting the cost, he says, I cannot live disciples' life. Okay? So now he's 26, still studying the Bible. His wife also studying the Bible. She came to Dusseldorf. She attended once. So we throw the arrow, we release. My son still flying. No bullseye yet. No bullseye. So we're praying. Our two daughters, Pauline became a disciple at 13, and Francesca at 16. But Francesca, she has a relationship with, not in the church. So we remove her from the roster, from the church membership this year. So we threw the arrow, bullseye, but the arrow fell. All right? So now we pick up the arrow again and another throw. Okay? So, but Pauline, amen. Faithful. Amen. Amen. So we as parents, what do we do? We can only teach about Jesus, live Jesus at home, and pray. And God will do the rest. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, my dear. Okay. All right, so let's move on to the next slide. The third one that I'd like to share with you is as we build our lives, build community. In Psalm 127, verse 5, this is what it says. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. The idea here, so the quiver, by the way, it is a Hollywood thing to put the quiver here. The real thing is that the quiver should be on your side. All right? Yeah, not here. That's just Hollywood. So only here, yeah. Because it is hard. Imagine if you're left-handed, you're right-handed, you know, I mean, it's hard. So you have to, you know, or here. You know, so whichever. So, the idea here, during that time, was the more children or offspring you have, the better chances of subduing the enemy, whether in court or in battle. So remember, the Israelites, the way they fought, is they fought by families. They fought by clans. They fought by tribes. So the more they are, the more influence they can have. So obviously, we cannot do that today. I cannot tell my brother, say, Bo, make 20.
Amen.
You know? You cannot. All right. So we cannot just produce offspring here and there. That's not the point. But on a spiritual sense, the more of us in a city or in a place that become disciples, the greater influence we can have in society, in itself. So, how do we do this today? And when I think of that, I believe, because in the Philippines, there was a time when we would share our faith. We would just have these small cards. We go to the park, we share our faith. And then people will come. And we go, wow, there was a visitor that came to Manila. This was way back in 1991. He found an invitation on the floor. And he came to church. And another couple, they just stood in the park. And in less than 5 minutes, somebody was sharing their faith with them. But now, if you have that card, you go to somebody, you go, what's that? You know, what do you want? How much money you want to get? You know, it's crazy. It's different. Well, Philippines is prospering a little bit more. And I think that is more in societies where there's more affluence, right? They don't have time. You go to the campus, they don't have time. They have exam here, exam there, exam here. You know, what? Practice here, practice there, practice. They don't have time. So what do we do now? In order, and then, at that time, we were the only ones that used the terms discipling.
Yeah.
And then we used the terms D group, D time. Now you go to Manila, everybody,
yes.
All churches use D time, D group, yeah. Discipling. So what is going to make us different now? Mm-hmm. Aside from just those terms. We had to pray, and we had to think. What would make us different? And we came up, I believe this is the Spirit. And the Spirit will move in different people and in different ways, in different places. And the idea is to spread love. What does that mean? Jesus said in John 13:34-35, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The only way that will differentiate us from anything out there is love.
Amen.
In the real sense of the word. And so we said, how can we spread love? And this is what we came up. Next slide, please. It's for us to be a light in dark places. There are many dark places in the world. Even in the beauty of this place. My daughter-in-law, she worked in Munich. She was working in IT in Munich. And then she felt, is this there is all to life? And so what she did was she signed up for a program in South Africa to help the poor. Because she was trying to find something meaningful for her life. But that program closes down before she leaves. And so the only program that was open was in the Philippines. Woohoo! Well, well, well. And she comes into contact first with my son. She really served like the poorest of the poor, the street children in the Philippines. She's got an incredible heart. Meets my son, they fall in love, and so on. Because of that, they got to meet our family. And then she sees the marriages in the family. She sees, or rather in the church, the relationships. She sees the love of people for one another. And so she goes back here and she starts telling her entire family, you gotta see our church. I go, she's not even a member yet, but she wants us to see her church. Because she was so amazed that people can actually, truly love one another. So now they're married with my son. We have this grandchild. She's still studying the Bible. Please be praying for her. Her name is Janet. Janet Yeager. Now Enrile. Okay. So please be praying for her, that she will become an addition to the great church here in Germany. And who knows, my son also. And then later on, Lucas, my grandson. Who knows? He's going to be the German Luke. Yeah? So, a light in dark places. This is Talk and Cat. Oh, next slide, please. No, there, that's Talk and Cat. Talk was an addict. He was introduced to drugs at the age of 11 years old. He was kicked out from school. He was imprisoned. He had been stabbed. He was hardcore. This guy was hardcore. But then when he was in rehab, disciples met him there. And so his wife becomes a disciple first, and the disciples reach out to Talk in rehab. He was amazed, again, that there is, you know, people who are in addictive situations, there's something that they're missing. There's something that they're looking for. There's something that's not there. And he found it in Jesus. So he becomes a disciple. And now, having that kind of a background, he now has a Christian center for recovery in the Philippines, where the government would send those that have been caught in the campaign against drug addiction would be sent to him. He's working hand in hand with the government now. And recently, his daughter became a disciple, and the psychologist in his center just became a disciple a few weeks ago. So God can move even in dark places. Right? This is the next slide, please. There you go. That's his rehab center and so on. And a number of people are studying the Bible there right now. And they're finding comfort. They're finding solutions in their lives through Jesus. He's been sober now for more than 20 years. Amazing, brother. He's one of my best friends in the church. Next slide. This is part of our singles ministry. We call it the Inspire Collective. And again, you know, there are people who have so much talent, and they want to showcase their talent. Maybe their talent is singing, like Andre. Maybe their talent is playing a guitar. Maybe their talent is presenting presentations. And then, so what the singles have done, the younger singles have done, is decided, how can we actually reach out to people who no longer respond to just inviting them to church? So what they have done is they created a community, which is called Inspire Collective, and they would invite their friends with talents. They would have a talent night, and there they would have presentations there where everyone is just supposed to present for 7 minutes?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. 5 minutes. And people would come. Crowds would come. Now, we haven't seen any fruit yet. We have just started this last year. But they come because they know there's a place that they want to belong in. And it doesn't matter if they don't study the Bible yet. What's important is if they see our lives. Once they see our lives, woo! Life and doctrine, right? People will not talk to you about, hey, what's your doctrine? They'll see our lives first.
Amen.
They'll see our lives first. And then, and we have, of course, Hope Worldwide, which is making a huge difference in the different communities. For me and my wife, we are involved in exceptional sports. We have decided as a family, our advocacy, or the community that we're trying to build also, aside from what we have in the church, is to help out children of exceptional needs, special needs, and special needs families. And in that way, boy, when they see the program, they go, who are you, and why do you do what you do? Wow, what a great way to start sharing your life to them and sharing your faith to them. And so lastly is this. Next slide. These are the Solomons. There are a couple who have marriage problems. Now, come on, let's be honest. Who has never had, those of you that are married, has never had a marriage problem? All right? So, singles, please, you know, be ready. Okay? They had marriage problems, and they came to us. We got to meet them to another friend who's a disciple. And they came to us for counseling. And so we asked them, how many times have you done counseling? 3 times. And how has it been? We still go back to the same thing. Can you help us with counseling? I go, okay, we will help you with counseling. Now this is the 4th time, counseling. So we sit down with them. We do marriage counseling with them. And then next time we see each other after 1 week, we ask them, did you do the assignment? And they go, no. See, okay. So we give them pointers again about marriage and so on. Meet again the following week. Did you do the assignment and the last assignment? No, we did not. We fought. I see. Okay. And then we ask them this. You know what? You've gone through many counseling things. And you seem not to have the energy nor the heart to do what you're told to do. It's really for your own good. And maybe that's what's missing, the heart. Why don't we talk about what is important, which is the heart? And so now they're studying the Bible. And they were pulling in, we realized we cannot do this alone. We had to pull in other couples to share their lives to them. And guess what? When they hear the lives of the disciples, how they were before they became Christians, the married couples, they go, we have hope.
Your marriage is worse.
Yeah. We are not alone. It can be done. And so when we do come back, we're pulling in another couple. And so that's what it is. We try to build community.
One blessing we have in Manila is traffic. Our traffic is so... Okay, traffic. So if you're supposed to take 15 minutes to where you need to go, because of traffic, you can take an hour. So we decided that we only have devos in our neighborhoods by geography. Right. So every devo, twice a month, we have house church devotional. And then once a month, we have family devo, where the father leads the devotional. And the next devo is just D-time devo. Mm-hmm. So in our community, we have a club, a sports club. And Coco had a D-time 1 week with one of the brothers in the sports club. The week after, he had a D-time with the son of that brother. And so the manager of the club noticed. And he went to Coco. He said, excuse me. Last week, you were talking to the father. This week, you're talking to the son. How come you're close to both father and son? Why are you spending time? And then they were able to share about the church. Said, that's interesting, you know. So this week, that manager came to our house church, devotional. So we really believe the more we spend time with each other and the more they see our lives, God will do the rest. So, amen.
Amen. Sometimes to drive 8 kilometers... it will take 2 hours. There's no way you can do 160 kilometers per hour. There's just no way. 2 hours. So we have to fight to be with each other. Because we know that we need one another. And if we are to practice love, I cannot practice love on my own for myself. I need my family and I need my extended spiritual family. So that in that way, I can get to know and give. And when you give, you receive. Right? It's the best way to live life, is to give so we can receive. So maybe I can just share a few more practicals that might be helpful. The one thing that we had to pray, if we are going to be a light to the world and to build our community, we had to pray for compassion in our hearts. We had to ask God, God, show us the places of darkness. Show us the people. Now, we were once people of darkness, right? All of us. And now we have come into the light. So all we need to do is ask God, God, show us, bring us these people who are in darkness, who need you. Send us to them. And it's amazing how God will open doors in that way. But pray for a compassionate heart inside the church and outside the church. We have this saying in the church, the best way or the best place to fail in is not outside. But fail, if you fail, if you must, fail in the church. Because there will be unconditional love in the church. Outside, there is no mercy. But in the church is God's grace. So pray for compassion inside and outside of the church. And here's another thing that I might want to encourage all of us. I know we're all busy. But do you know that that saying, the time is gold, right?
Yeah.
So then decide to sacrifice time. To be, being with each other can be a sacrifice in itself. But if we're going to sacrifice, let's sacrifice for things that are important and make a difference. And lastly, what you can do, this is something that everybody can do. Practice smiling at people. You know, I was walking in the small roads here in Paderborn, and I go, I noticed this plant with flowers in it. I know what a wheat looks like, okay? But this one, I go, what is that? They're growing flowers in Paderborn, but this is hectares of flowers. Why? I know corn when I see corn. And then, so I see this German family. I go, Sprachen English. He said something in German which actually means just very little. Okay. Just a question. What is that? And he goes, oh, potato. Oh my goodness, man.
It's so beautiful.
It's so beautiful potatoes. I've never seen such beautiful potatoes. And then it's just coming out of our way just to smile. You know, now I know, hello. It's right? Choose. Wow, this is awesome. You know, and so if we just smile, give a smile. You know what? Others, you know, I hope they'll not think that, why is this guy or this person smiling at me? That's weird, right? But maybe they might respond. Then practice kindness. We can all do that at work, at school, at home. Practice kindness. So, last slide. Conclusion. Let's all bana. Build. To build with understanding. And we can only do that if we bana with God. And once we do that, when we build one another, when we build our families, bana character, godly character. And lastly, let's bana a community and be an influence in our places where we live. So God bless you all. Thank you. Amen.